It is my great pleasure to welcome for the first time Megan Don to Many Rivers Books and Tea. She is a student and teacher in the Christian mystical tradition and has spent the last 5 years in training with Tao Malachi, thank you, of the Sophian lineage. She's an award-winning author of Meditations with Teresa of Avila, this book right here, and as well, Sacred Companions, Sacred Community Reflections with Claire Bacici. She's currently writing a book on the seven faces of the feminine presence, and we are delighted to welcome her here to Many Rivers Books and Tea. Thank you so much. Join me in welcoming her, please.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Welcome to everybody. I'd like to begin with a prayer. So I would like to say, when I do an invocation of a prayer, I am invoking that I'm going to be praying especially to the mother this night. So when I do pray, I am invoking the presence of the mother from outside. However, I'm also evoking that same presence within us. So it's a very co-creative affair where these two energies will mix and mingle, and who knows what we'll produce tonight. So if you'll join with me, and I think Emma will also go into a chant for the mother afterwards, so you can just join in and I'll lead us through that if you feel comfortable, and just be with it if you just want to sit in the silence. Ima Gadol, Great Mother, Mother of all, you show yourself with many faces, through many forms, and we call upon you as your children, speaking the many names that you have appeared to us. We invite and welcome you this night, asking for your presence, for the power of your compassionate heart, for your strength and courage, and as we invite this through you, may your qualities arise in us, knowing that they are within, and that we can draw upon them at any time. We give thanks for these lives that we have been given, and we pray at this time that all beings be included in this great movement, moving towards light and love and home. May all who have lost their way and in despair, hopeless, feel a flicker of your love this night. And may we join in making that light brighter and stronger upon the earth this night. The chant I'm going to do is Amma A'ima, Amma A'ima, which is mother. Ahma hima, 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 ahma hima Place your mind before the mirror of eternity. Place your soul in the brilliance of glory. Place your heart in the figure of the divine substance. And through contemplation, transform your entire being into the image of the Godhead itself. Claire of Assisi, who lived from 1193 to 1253, and hearing those words, certainly a woman who knew the mystic experience, who knew mental consciousness, who knew divine consciousness, who knew heart consciousness, who knew embodiment. Teresa of Avila, 1515 through 1582. Give me wealth or give me want. Give me joy or give me sorrow. Give me war or give me peace. Give me sickness or give me health. It no longer mattered to her what she was experiencing. She had gone beyond being bound by duality. She said it didn't matter anymore if she was at war inside or if there was conflict and war on outside, because deep within she knew. She also said, God has now put me in charge of my own soul, because I cannot do my own will even if I want to. The beautiful mystic merging, the union of wills. And she also said, if we simply rely upon ourselves and if we think, oh, so now I can do it, I've been put in charge of my own soul, she said, oh boy, am I going to fall flat on my face. But if I also think I can only do it through a God out there, then I also do not understand. But when I can bring the two together as one, then I am living life. So we move from these two women to Mother and Lee of the Sheikhs. Who was the leader of the Sheikh movement in the U.S.? And interestingly enough, became to her followers to be known as the feminine embodiment of God, who came to be known as the second coming. How did that happen? And we also have, not so long after that, a woman called Tal Miriam, who no one has heard of, who is part of this Sophian lineage tradition that I have been studying. And she's not heard of because there was only oral transmission of teachings. She became known as being the embodiment of the feminine Christ within her circle. She became known as being the emanation body of Mary Magdalene. And within that tradition, Mary Magdalene was known and understood to be the full feminine Christed one. However, Tal Miriam would never allow this to be spoken into her face, and she would never allow it to be herself to be raised up, because she said, oh no, if that happens, then whatever they did to Yeshua, putting him on the pedestal, they'll do to me, and everyone will bow down and they will forget their divinity. So she refused to take on any such title, or, and she put it right back onto her students, right back onto the people around her. She was also at the time of Madame Blavatsky, who was the leader of the Theosophists. Fascinating, huh? So that we are having this movement going on with these women leaders rising up in their spirituality and bringing through things that even now we're going, oh, really?
And when was that?
We're talking around the mid-1800s. So a really fertile time. And what was fascinating also, that Madame Blavatsky was known to have been bringing through certain Tibetan teachings. And Tal Miriam, unbelievable, when you actually, because they've been orally transmitted and now are being slowly written about, when you look at them, they are Vajrayana Buddhist to a T, except in Christian visualization and terminology. But it's extraordinary, and I've done some of these practices, and sometimes they'll switch, and sometimes I'm getting Buddhist figures popping in and it's like, hey, and then I go, oh, it's the same practice, just with these different visualizations. So, and she, Tal Miriam, had never encountered Buddhism, so of course this will not surprise any Jungians, because we know this is all available and it's all the universal. It's just a matter of how it's coming through culturally and what's our tradition. And unfortunately for the Christian tradition, we all know where that went awry. With the loss of the feminine. And yet it's there. And some of my Buddhist sisters are astounded when in their meditations Christ shows up or Mother Mary shows up, and they're going, well, hold on, I left that behind. Well, no, that's not meant to happen. And there they are, right there with them. And so I think that really we need to also look at what is the second coming and where did it come from? And what does it mean today? And so when we look at this, there's passages in the New Testament where Yeshua Jesus is really speaking, you know, about the times to come. And he does speak in this very sort of poetic, prophetic nature of this Son of Man will come on the clouds, and there's all sorts of, you know, catastrophes and so on beforehand. And then this Son of Man comes, which is actually taken directly from a prophecy of Daniel, the prophet Daniel. And really, to understand it fully, we need to understand the Hebraic sense of this. Son of Man actually translates as Son of Adam. Adam, initially, was not masculine and was not feminine, but was both. In fact, when you read Adam, it means humanity. So this one of humanity is coming. So in fact, we are that humanity. We are that second coming, in that the first coming, transcendental, masculine, which we have seen shown forth through teachers sitting on pedestals and podiums above the one. The feminine, the second coming, is the many. No podiums, no pedestals. Much more circular. The many. Coming awake, coming aware, coming into the truth of their nature. And we need the balance first. Before we can get to that full humanity, we need, because we've been in such a masculine-oriented way, we now need for the feminine to truly rise and to truly be embodied, so that there's a meeting, a real equal meeting. And then, I would even go as far as to say, then there'd be the third coming. The third coming is where the masculine and feminine are joined in androgyny, so that then that true sense of humanity is known and understood. And what's fascinating with that too, from a Hebraic tradition, they have the Hebrew letters, 22 Hebrew letters. In fact, there are 23. And these letters are known as energy intelligences. So they're the energies that have created the world, that have created us. They're the energies that are in creation for us to embody, for us to realize. The 23rd letter is known as the missing letter. And there is a legend around that when Moses came down from the mountain with his tablets, there were 23 letters on the tablets. But when he came down and the golden calf thing was going on, you know, the tablets got smashed. And at that point, all the letters went back to heaven. So Moses goes back up the mountain. He gets another set of tablets. He comes back down, but there's only 22 letters.
What's the missing letter?
So the missing letter is understood as the world to come. And it's understood as that time when masculine and feminine join and create something other. So it's quite beautiful. You know, I mean, we also have Maitreya, the second coming of Buddha. What's interesting is that often Buddha, the second coming of Buddha is portrayed not with legs, sometimes he is with his legs up, but mostly with feet on the ground, either sitting in a very Western-like, actually sort of throne, or standing on the ground. So this speaks also to embodiment. And when looking at the tree of life, the one that is on the ground is daughter, the one closest to earth. She is known as the feet upon the ground, the daughter. So there's all sorts, I mean, there's even somebody here in California, I believe, who's saying he's Maitreya. And the Baha'is thought their leader was Maitreya. And there were numerous Chinese leaders who were saying they were Maitreya, you know. So I'd be very interested to see if Maitreya is not a woman. But also in all of this, I think the one thing that's really important is that we don't get bound in the expectations of what previous generations were. So for instance, you know, we have like yes, with the mother Ann Lee, that they thought that she was the embodiment, that she was the second coming. And then there was talk about Tal Miriam. And then there's this need, though, for a fluidity, right? That we can't have these set teachings. Maybe this is what they thought then, but then we've got to allow for them to move and shift and change, which is very feminine, very fluid, very flowing, not static, not straight, not one rule or law for 2,000 freaking years. We're different now. And so then, in the Gnostic tradition, they started saying, actually, we don't think it's just one woman. And actually, we're starting to think it's not even just women that this is going to be coming through. But it's going to come through all of us. Masculine or feminine. Male or female. So it's not just one. So we're back to that moving from one, the transcendental one, to the imminent. The imminent. Right here on earth now, many. And of course that many and that one are going to dance beautifully together and then rise into something other. Perhaps the new Jerusalem that is spoken of. The new world. Who really knows how it's going to manifest? Whether it's going to manifest on this earth or in another plane. Who knows? I do hope that if it is manifesting on another plane, that this earth will certainly get the benefit from it. So, looking at how it is happening already today, I think we're seeing it. We're feeling it. I mean, I know people who are working in businesses who are taking on these relational models, because here again we have the feminine as very relational, the compassionate heart, the inclusiveness. So we're starting to see CEOs now, rather than ruling from top, sitting at their table and asking each of the employees how and what they see and what they would like to see. And there's a lot more inclusiveness. I think we're seeing it in different spiritual movements. And of course we have the dear Quakers who have been probably doing that for quite a while. And other churches. think we're all feeling it just simply in our own hearts. No? I don't know about you, but I'm certainly getting a lot softer, a lot more open, a lot more fluid, and also a lot more courageous and a lot more strength, a lot more fluid, a lot more flowing, a lot more sensual. Now, there's one thing I must say about these women who have been, how I understand it and why I bring these in, and of course there are others, Hildegard of Bingen, Julian of Norwich, many, but if I've worked specifically with Teresa and Claire, so I bring those in, and I think speaking of Tal Miriam and Mother Anne Lee is very important, because this is where this second coming really started to show itself in a whole new way. So how I see it is the mystics have been holding this light. I mean, how is it that Claire of Assisi speaks about transforming your entire being, into the Godhead itself? And very fascinating, she uses Godhead and not just God. So it really poses the question, so what's the difference? God, what's Godhead? And so there is an understanding that God is the divine being. Godhead is divine consciousness. So what Claire was speaking is make your entire being, she's saying, you know, put your mind in that mirror of eternity. And I would really suggest you do that as a meditation. Oh my, you might find that your mind just grows a little bit. And she says, put your soul in the brilliance of glory. Now the resurrection body of Yeshua can be understood as the transfigured body, as the transformed body, as the glory body. Which, by the way, in oral traditions also said that Mary Magdalene was also able to move into this same transfigured body. Which means, so are we. And again, I don't know about you, but my body's certainly like, well, there's something different going on here. All right, okay. And she understood, Claire, putting your heart into the figure of the divine substance. The compassionate heart of the mother, who embraces all. There's a beautiful text called Thunder Perfect Mind, and talk about coming into the dualities. And that she speaks of that. It's really this beautiful prayer where she says, I am the whore and the holy one. And the whore embraces everybody. And so does the Holy One. So where is the difference? There is no duality. And as I commend these women holding this, I also have to say that the sexual being and nature of the human one also needs to be honest. Because that is where a lot of power resides. And we don't have to look very far to get that verified. What do we see with religious leaders when they really get into the power? Oh, could be a crumbling, stumbling block with the sexual piece. Because that's the final frontier. Can you still hold and maintain your true integrity and your true holiness and power and embody your sexuality. Ooh, oh, oh, some teeth up. Boom. So embodiment, I think we need to stretch ourselves. We need to stretch ourselves, what that really means. Because sometimes we can just fall a little too short. Yes, it's important to come back to the earthly nature of our being. Yeah, and it's important to come back to earth, and but we also must draw in our vast cosmic nature. And then this is where most of us will run for the hills, because that vast cosmic nature is just a little too big and a little too scary. I've had people say, you know, we're giving certain meditations, and they're saying, oh yeah, they're starting to feel it, and they're, oh boy, oh okay, enough. And so that's embodiment too, is being able to access divine energies at will. So I think we all have our meditation experiences where sometimes they're like, whoa, that was great. But sometimes they can be very spontaneous. And the thing is, do we know how to get back there? Do we know how to then bring that energy in and ground it? Here we are, back to the feet, back to the daughter, back to the Buddha with the feet on the ground. Back to the imminent. And can we live it? Because we all know, right? We've all had these wonderful experiences in meditation, and then we go out and we're an absolute ass. Hold on, what happened? That temper will fly, or something will happen, and say, whoa. So how do we ground? How do we ground and make a reality the vastness? Now, there's been a beautiful book written some time ago now by, I don't know if I have her name here, Dimitra George, and actually she speaks something quite beautiful and much more complex. She obviously is very gifted in astrology, but she speaks about Yeshua as bringing in this compassion, this inclusiveness, and quite frankly, I think he was the first feminist. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely he was. And she says, but the people weren't really ready for him. They weren't ready. And she says, and it makes sense, she looks at some astrological sense of the Pisces time, bringing in this compassion, bringing in the fluidity, bringing in forgiveness, all these beautiful qualities. And she talks about it lasting for this 2300 years. And then she says, and of course this was a time of the masculine and the solar. So she actually says, this patriarchy, this masculine we've been living, I was going to say enduring, was needed. Because before them was matriarchy, so it needed to rise. And of course, some, you know, when things rise, you know, we're going to get some distorted views, right? Just as we get distorted views of feminine. And then she says, now we're going into this cusp of a 40,000 lunar goddess time. So hang in there, everyone, because, you know, and this is what I'm seeing, that this is rising. So she was so beautifully and very, in much more detail, just pointing it out in the stars. And she goes into a lot of detail, actually way back. And she plots these different ages of like, oh yes, here was matriarchy, here was the patriarchy, here was this, and now we're going into here. So she was saying it's somehow there's this sweeping of energy, this coursing of divine will moving through us all. And I mean, quite frankly, I am totally looking forward to the day when we will no longer speak of divine and human, or even masculine and feminine, but we will speak of humanity. And when we say the word humanity, we will know what that means. We will know the inherent divinity within that. We won't need to separate it. We won't need to say this or that anymore. But when we speak humanity, and it's also too, in the Kabbalistic system, there's the primordial human one, Adam Kadmon, the primordial human one who was the very first creation, who in fact every other creation coming after that primordial human one, archangels, angels, the earth beings, elemental beings, all were created in order to help this primordial human one rise and return to the fullness and authenticity of being created in the likeness and image of the One. So when we really start looking into that, we also understand that those energies that are within the angels and archangels, those energies that are within the masters and the divine beings, are also within us. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, do we know how to access that? Can we even believe that's true? I know I've had all sorts of different voices come up around those. Even to the point of having very ancient looking clerical figures coming, calling me heretic and all sorts of things to dissuade me from this truth. But as Mary Magdalene said to the apostles as they were crying after Yeshua disappeared, going, oh no, now he's gone, and oh my God, well look what he did to them. I mean, look what they did to him. And so they're probably going to do the same to us. And like, maybe we should just go and hide. And Mary Magdalene stepped in and goes, No. This is what he has been training us for. This is what he is calling us to do. Grace will come through you. Know that. Take comfort in that. Take strength in that. And stand up and be who you are called to be. An authentic human being. So the second coming, of course, has its gestation, it has its birthing, it has its realization. And if we can say really in essence that seed was planted long ago with Yeshua, it did sprout through Magdalene and then it's moved and shifted and changed. And I think we've been moving towards it ever since. I think we're in the birthing time. and I pray God that the realization time will be soon. And I think we're seeing that. I mean, even in the Buddhist tradition, right? We're starting to see women teachers rising in that too. You know, so we're seeing it. We're seeing it. And I think that I work with a lot of women, and it's confidence. Always the confidence to believe in what is coming through you. Doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. Doesn't matter what anyone else is saying. What is coming through you? Because what is coming through you is not going to be coming through anybody else. Ever. There's a beautiful, beautiful early Christian prayer, which I love and adore and say it often. You are my mind. Bring me forth. You are my wisdom treasury. Open for me. You are my illumination. Take me to you. Grant me what no angel's eye has seen, no ruler's ear has heard, and what has not been given to the human heart. That is, what is mine, what is to come through this human heart. And I think the most important thing, it doesn't need to be big and grand, vast. You don't need to be making these big gestures. It can be very quiet. It can be very simple, very present, very loving. And that is what I'm finding a big difference between the masculine understanding of power and the feminine understanding of power. When I go into the masculine understanding of power, it is a force. And so this is wonderful to be able to enter into that. And the feminine power, I am finding more and more, is just very natural. Here I am. Here I am. Doing what I do, being what I do, being who I am. And I love the feminine force, and I love the masculine force. The masculine to me gives great focus, great concentration, great, in Hebrew, kavana, concentration, power, and totally can aim to its target and go. And my feminine is dancing and fluid and circular and just sensual. And so when these two come together, beautiful. And we have all of that within us. So I will... say that I think we're living in wonderful, exciting times. Mm. We really are. Mm. And I think as we're seeing that the greater light and love that is really starting to make its way into our bodies and really ground here, we're also seeing the great darkness that's arising. Because as we know, the light uncovers the dark. And I've also been experiencing that. Oh, yet another deeper layer of that. Oh, and another deeper layer. Mm-hmm. that with the non-resistance to it and the invitation to it and the embracing of it, it can dissolve so quickly. So quickly. And on you move into greater strength. So that might be a good time to open up and ask if there's any questions or comments or reflections or your experiences you would like to bring forward.
Recently, I was at a writing workshop and the presentation was mostly about Medea, the Greek goddess, and it was so bleak and harsh, this feeling that this woman told the story of Medea, and she told it from the aspect of all these battles and wars, and Medea had supposedly killed her own children, and I left there just feeling so depressed that humanity was like this from ancient times. And your talk, on the other hand, is full of hope and possibility.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me, I mean, you know, with what's happening in the world today, it's hard for me to not go into despair. And you said that thing about the light illuminates the dark.
It does. It does. And what we're really seeing in our world is simply everybody acting out their deepest pain, their deepest wounds, the deepest duality of us and them. And you did that to me, so now I'm doing this to you. We're also seeing the great hopelessness within certain peoples, and that allows the dark energy to utilize that and take it to its absolute extremes. So this is something we need to be very careful with, I think, with the feminine too, because we can embrace. It's important we do not drown in the embrace. And so that is where our own personal practice is so important, that we are constantly identifying with our light and loving heart. And there is a very beautiful practice, very much like Tonglen, in the Buddhist tradition, called giving and receiving, where we see the darkness on the outside and we extend the love to it. And we can actually take that darkness in and allow it to dissolve in the light of our heart. But one must have one's own strength in the light first, so that one can just take it in and it can dissolve, so that it doesn't add to your own, and so that then it can just, that can very much be very helpful to those and yourself. So I would just recommend really coming in every day, and connecting with that light presence, connecting with the compassionate heart of the mother, who can embrace without drowning.
Thank you. Thank you, Megan, for inviting the divine with your gorgeous words. I recently, a couple weeks ago, had the opportunity to go to a workshop where we have been waiting a couple years for a real Egyptian Egyptologist to come see us and to visit. And a very passionate man who wants to teach the young kids their Egyptian heritage in a way that they can be proud. And through all the latest changes in Egypt, he wanted to let us know, most importantly, after giving us a weekend of history of Egypt, he also got us current with Egypt, and wanted us, most importantly, to know that here in America, we haven't been being told exactly kind of the way it is, and
that latest revolution, and he said revolution, that where they took over, it was not a military coup, he said, and that when they took over for the guy that had been there for 10 years, whatever general guy that was, it was the women in the streets. He showed us slide after slide after slide after slide of hundreds of women. Some in their full burqas, some veiled, some in contemporary clothes, young women in their jeans and t-shirts. Hundreds of women in the front lines leading this revolution. Mm-hmm. And the men, he said, of Egypt were absolutely shocked.
Mm.
And they couldn't do anything except for support them. And so that latest coup that we've been hearing about is not a military coup. It was brought forth by the women.
Mm.
And remember the photograph we all remember seeing about the young man in Tiananmen Square holding back the tank?
Mm-hmm.
Always one of those shots that'll always remind
mm-hmm.
us of Greek.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he showed us one slide of all of these women in the square, and they had a gigantuous poster of Hatshepsut, the one female pharaoh that we do get to hear about.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout the weekend, we heard about four other female pharaohs,
mm-hmm.
by the way. And but these women all standing around this gigantic photo of Hatshepsut.
Mm.
So I just wanted to pass that info on so that everybody can hold that in their heart.
Beautiful.
As we know, Egypt is the center landmass, and so that
yeah.
wave that has begun over
yeah.
there is going to develop
yeah.
the planet.
Yeah.
Because that's just the nature of the energy of that
mm-hmm.
of Egypt. And so
thank you.
Be ready for the wave because it's coming.
Yeah.
Feel it, you know. So
yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. That's why I had to come from far to drive here tonight to also be a part of everything that you're bringing for us tonight. So
thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for bringing that forward. Most important. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I would also like to congratulate and offer my support of all the men who are bringing the feminine forward within themselves and taking the courage to do that. Because they're journey has been no trip through the roses either. And I had the great pleasure, actually, last Sunday I went to the Soul Motion dance that they have here in Sebastopol. I just had the urge in the morning, it's like, gotta go dance. And I had the absolute delight of dancing with four different men who were so respectful, responsive, and the most beautiful connections between these two beings. And I also enjoyed that with women too. So it was just, it's just a delight to feel that clearly, energetically, they were in their bodies, in that energy.
Yeah.
And they could support that and hold that and dance that and be with that, and it was I think a little taste of that New Jerusalem. It's so I also really feel that's important too, that yes, we are in these women's bodies and forms, so we do tend to get that feminine a little more, but it's a movement far and beyond the gender. Anybody else?
Are you visiting here from Maine?
Oh, actually, yes. I've been in California for 4.5 years now.
Oh, I'm just reading this on TikTok.
I was up in Grass Valley for close to 5 years, I guess, 4.5 years. where I was training and being initiated in this particular Gnostic tradition, and now it's though I'd been working with the mystics prior to that, and now it's time for me to take these teachings out. So the new book I'm writing will be around that, in my own voice and way of presenting those. And right now I'm in Sebastopol for the summer.
Oh, yes.
Yes, because I'm going to be moving. So I thought, I remember Sebastopol from a year ago or so, where I drove in and I'd been to Jena, one of my favorite places. And I drove through and I stopped here and I just came alive here. I was like, whoa! And I was really like moving it and grooving it. And I'm like, oh, wow, what's going on with this little town? And then later, so when I started thinking about, well, where will I go? I'm not really feeling at all. I went, that little Sebastopol kind of got me moving. And I thought, well, why don't I just sort of check it out for a few months, you know, see if I like it. And of course, you know, then I found a sublet for the summer, so it was like,
yeah.
I'm there. So, and I'm absolutely adoring it. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And the whole surrounds, the geography suits my body.
Yeah.
I'm Celtic and, you know, Irish, Scottish, and so sometimes I'm out on the headlands there and I'm like, okay, did I just get teleported into Scotland? Okay, am I in Ireland right now? What happened? And then I'm driving through the vineyards and the rolling hills. I'm going, okay, am I in southern France? And I have a very dear love for southern France and for Europe. And so, you know, so the little French bakeries and the vineyards and the wine and so on. Like, Celtic France. I don't have to go anywhere here. It all is. So we will see. I'm going to be on the East Coast in the fall, and then I'll be coming back to see what Ima Gadol, Great Mother, will provide.
Well, we're lucky to have you.
Well, I feel fortunate to be here. It's a blessing.
Do you have any more events coming up soon?
November.
Yeah.
What
San Jose.
Yes, San Jose. What I'll do is actually I'll pass out my business cards here, if that what's one calls them, and the events are on the retreat page there. So
on the website.
So I'll pass them around. If you could pass them around. And there's a newsletter there too, if you'd like to sign up. I usually send it out every 2 months. It's also on the website. I know we're all inundated with email these days, so it, you know, maybe go on at your own leisure. But yes, in November I will be doing a. Where is it, Marilyn? Los Gatos?
It's in Los Gatos, which is a suburb of San Jose.
Okay, and a beautiful retreat center.
Yes.
With adobe buildings and redwoods.
Yes,
Catholic nun retreat, and now it's open, it's non-denominational.
And I think that they've got a beautiful pond and labyrinth,
yes.
And
yeah.
It looks
yes.
gorgeous.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And
77 acres up in the redwoods.
So that's November.
Presentation center.
Presentation.
Middle of November.
And they have a website you can go look. Presentation center. So we're bringing Megan down there for a weekend retreat and workshop.
Yeah.
It'll be
our spiritual community.
Yeah.
Right.
It's called Heart Space Teaching, so you can go on our website and find it too.
Yeah.
Just Cali, California, got seen the redwoods too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. I hope I won't be leaving California. I kind of like it. Yeah. I do. It's very very nice living. So yeah. Well, thank you all.
Thank you so much. So we have a custom here at Many Rivers. We have a donation bowl in the Buddhist tradition of dana, or generosity. We encourage you to contribute to it, and we share that generosity with our speaker to further, in this case, her work, and also to help maintain this space for further such events. Thank you so much for coming to Many Rivers. If this is your first time here, do come back and see it when the bookshelves are all back in place and you can actually get to the books. And check out the events that I mentioned. They're all on our website, or they will be soon, www.manybeversbooks.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ralph, can I ask you, do you have these available anywhere, the recording?